Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. The Environmental Protection Agency is sticking with its veto of the proposed Pebble Mine project in southwest Alaska. Northern Dynasty, the parent company behind the Pebble project, is still suing to get the veto overturned. A document filed in that lawsuit earlier this month said the company and the EPA were in settlement talks and that the Trump administration said it was open to reconsidering the Biden-era veto of the controversial mining project. But yesterday, attorneys in the case filed another document to update the judge. It says that negotiations between the company and the EPA did not reach a resolution and that the Trump administration will continue to back the veto. The proposed site for the copper and gold mine is upriver from Bristol Bay, home to the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery. The mining project is unpopular in the region, where many people believe the open pit mine would put the salmon run at risk. Carla Jensen is an environmental specialist for Pedro Bay. Her village is close to the proposed mining site. She says that after the veto of the project in 2023, many of the mine's opponents felt relieved but remained wary.
We were just rejoicing and happy that some people were like, we don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, it's kind of like, they said I don't have cancer anymore. But you always have that nagging in the back of your mind that it can always come back.
The Pebble Limited Partnership is now asking the court to rule on whether the veto is lawful. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. The late civil rights activist John Lewis didn't have ties to Juneau, but Juneau residents marked the anniversary of his death last night with a protest of the Trump administration's cut to diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, and what they see as an attack on civil rights. KTOO was down at the protest and has more. Six-year-old Shiris Dolly holds a sign on the corner of Egan Drive and the Douglas Bridge that reads, "Make America Kind Again," in colorful letters. Why does kindness matter?
Because being good to people makes them be good to you.
He's standing with his mom and younger brother, alongside more than 100 other Juneau residents who joined the so-called Good Trouble protest along downtown Juneau's busiest road during rush hour traffic. Good Trouble was the credo of John Lewis, an icon of the civil rights movement. He was known for his work throughout the 1960s to end segregation and gain voting rights using nonviolent activism. He called such activism, quote, good trouble, necessary trouble, to achieve change. Lewis continued his advocacy work for decades as a politician until his death at 80 in 2020.
What do you want? When do you want them?
On Thursday, more than 1,000 protests in his honor took place across the U.S., including in different parts of Alaska. Juneau resident Michael Siri says he's out here to advocate for diversity, something he says is what makes America great.
Believe it or not, I am a patriot, and I believe in the country. And the country I was raised in believed in liberty and justice for all. And for all means for all. And that seems to be kind of somehow became a radical idea.
He's taking a page out of Lewis's book.
I like to sit in my home in my chair with my cats. And, you know, that's where I would be right now. But I think John Lewis's call to everybody was to say, you know, you need to get out of your seat. You need to be coming from a good place. You need to be prepared to make some trouble.
Dozens of protests have been held in the capital city since Donald Trump took office for his second term as president. Ariel Hasimudio works with Juneau for Democracy and helped organize the event alongside other local advocacy organizations. She says it's important that Alaska's capital city makes its voice heard during what she says is an attack on civil and human rights by the current administration.
We're here in the spirit of John Lewis talking about using his quote as inspiration to never be afraid to get in good trouble when it's necessary, especially at a time where a lot of people are very afraid of their rights being taken away.
Janet Cousart has lived in Juneau for more than 5 decades. She turns 80 years old next month.
I'm throwing a party.
But for now, she's standing on the side of the road holding a sign. She got a little teary-eyed when she described the breadth of the cuts to federal services. She called it a gutting of the Constitution.
I mean, you have to protest that. There's just no sitting home and feeling sorry for yourself. You have to get out with others like this. This is inspiring.
She says though she might be retired from working, she'll never retire from standing up for civil rights. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And the U.S. House passed a rescission bill last night to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, sending the bill to the president to sign into law. CPB is the main source of funding for many of Alaska's 27 public radio stations. And in the interest of transparency, a significant contributor to KTOO's budget. Senators passed the bill Wednesday night, despite opposition from Senator Lisa Murkowski. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has this report on Murkowski's failed bid to stop the bill and what's next for Alaska's stations.
The Senate considered several Democratic amendments to preserve funding for public broadcasting during the debate over the clawback bill. All of them failed, with just Murkowski and sometimes another Republican voting for it. Conservative Republicans said they wanted to defund NPR in particular because they consider its content too left-wing. Murkowski then offered an amendment to just defund NPR and keep the money flowing to rural stations.
Even though what I offered was exactly what my colleagues were calling for. Every time they spoke about public broadcasting in the negative, they used words like it's a radical liberal agenda, and their reference was not to the emergency early warning system. It was not to the children's TV programming.
Her amendment failed too, with Murkowski and Maine Senator Susan Collins the only Republicans to support it. Now, Murkowski says she's focused on what Alaska's rural stations need to stay on air.
I have no surety that these small stations that provide such important connections within their community are going to be able to stay afloat.
That's what the general managers of rural stations in Alaska have warned about, though some are still holding out hope for other funding. One source might be a $10 million fund at the Interior Department in the Bureau of Indian Affairs that assists tribal stations. Murkowski says a dozen Alaska stations might qualify.
When we've talked to folks over at Interior about how this is all going to work, it's truly radio silence, and I don't think they're denying us information. I think they truly do not know.
Also, Murkowski says the grants would be competitive, so Alaska stations can't count on the funding. Technically, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting still exists. Congress could appropriate new money for it to send to rural stations. Murkowski says that will be a tough sell to her Republican colleagues.
I will just remind you of that vote that you saw last night on my amendment. It was made very, very clear, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, you've seen it, but the president said, anybody who wants my endorsement, you better not support the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Murkowski says she hasn't given up on sending money to CPB. She hopes public radio and TV supporters around the country will contact their Congress members. Senator Dan Sullivan didn't respond to an interview request on his vote against Murkowski's amendment. He had described himself in letters to constituents as a supporter of funding for public radio stations. In 2020, he accepted a Champion of Public Broadcasting Award from America's Public Television Stations. A Sullivan spokeswoman said by email that Sullivan has warned for years that NPR is biased, but that he is talking to the Trump administration about finding support for rural Alaska stations. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And the U.S. Department of Interior announced Wednesday that it finalized the transfer of nearly 2,800 acres of federal land in the Northwest Arctic to Nana Regional Corporation. The land is on the western end of the Ambler Road Corridor, a proposed 200-mile road branching from the Dalton Highway to connect to a mining region south of the Brooks Range. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen has more.
In a press release from the department, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum called it a clear example of the Trump administration delivering on its promises. Burgum said the move cuts federal red tape, reduces barriers to resource development, and puts land in Alaska Native hands. The agency said the transfer supports longstanding Alaska Native land claims and an executive order from President Donald Trump in January that aims to, quote, unleash Alaska's extraordinary resource potential. NANA did not address the Ambler Road project in a written statement from its CEO and President John Lincoln, and did not immediately respond to questions about the road project. NANA withdrew from the Ambler Road project in May 2024. Lincoln said the corporation was pleased with the land transfer. He said it's the first to an Alaska Native corporation under a law passed over two decades ago called the Alaska Land Transfer Acceleration Act. Lincoln said the conveyed lands were selections made years ago by elders and past leadership. Lincoln said the corporation was, quote, looking forward to working closely with the federal government on conveyance of the remaining 100,000-plus acres of selected land and other issues of great importance to the state and federal government, end quote. Opponents of the Ambler Road say the project will irrevocably harm the region's environment, natural resources, and culture. Supporters say the road will bring jobs and economic growth to the region. Reporting from Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Alrighty, and before I leave you, let's take a look at the weather. Tonight, it's going to be partly sunny with a high of 65, and tomorrow also partly sunny, and Sunday mostly sunny. Exciting stuff. Thank you so much for listening. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson.